Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning, you want to talk about cooking and baking. Have you done any extra of that during the last few months? Maybe it was an old favorite recipe that you hadn't made for a while, or maybe you've been trying some new things. Well, it's recommended that the first thing you do is look at the list of ingredients to see if you have those. I know, and maybe it's happened to you in the past, whatever, that you go start through the recipe, it's something you've done before, and then, oops, there's something I do not have in my kitchen at the moment. Well, there are substitutions, and I want to kind of go through a list of those. Now, many of those, if you've done much baking, cooking, you know some of these substitutions. But as I went through the list, there were a couple that I didn't know about, so I thought I'd share those with you, too. So the first thing, an easy one that I wanted to mention that, you know, I think a lot of people know, is if the recipe calls for a cup or calls for buttermilk, and if it's a cup, for instance, just use a milk plus a tablespoon of lemon juice to equal a cup. You probably won't know the difference. Your recipe probably will turn out the same, but that's always a chance you take when you're making substitutions that the final product may not be the same as the original because, of course, the ingredients serve various purposes. But in this case of the buttermilk, probably no difference. Now, what about if your recipe calls for cream and you say, oh, that's not something I keep on hand. Well, if you have half and half, you just use 7/8 of a cup of half and half with 1/8 of a cup of melted butter, or 1/2 cup of whole milk plus 1/2 cup of plain Greek full-fat yogurt. Now, those are, maybe you have those on hand, maybe not. Also, if you happen to keep a can of evaporated milk in your pantry, well, that just go ahead and substitute that. Or I think we sort of mentioned this for cream, but also for you could substitute 3/4 cup of whole milk with 1/3 cup of melted butter mixed in. So just need that extra fat that the butter is going to add. What about if you don't have butter? You know, and this recipe calls for butter. Well, you can make some substitutions, margarine, shortening, you know, some other solid fat. But if that butter is really adding important flavor, of course, the flavor is going to change. You can, if the recipe calls for melted butter, then use a neutral flavored oil. Or here's one you might not have thought of, unsweetened applesauce or pureed canned beans. Now, those wouldn't be the baked beans. Those would be like the lima or the white beans that that possibly you keep on hand. So all of these substitutions, you know, well, I don't have this, but I don't have that either. So you may have to change recipes. But eggs, what if you go, oh, I ran out of eggs, or this recipe calls for 3 and I have 2. You can swap any of the following for 1 egg when baking. 1/4 cup of vegetable oil, 1/4 cup of mashed banana, or 1/4 cup of unsweetened applesauce. Now, again, depending on the other flavors in the recipe, the banana could change the flavor. Applesauce, probably not quite as much, but again, you know, if you have a recipe that is pretty much a vanilla flavor and you start adding these things, oops, not going to be the same. Might be good. Maybe you'll have a better result than you have expected. Well, here's one that I've not heard of, egg whites. If you need egg whites, use 2 tablespoons of aquafaba. That's A-Q-U-A-F-A-B-A. That's the liquid from a can of chickpeas. Well, I don't usually have a can of chickpeas, but I thought this was an interesting piece of information. It will whip to a meringue-like consistency, and you can use it to make meringues or other fluffy baked goods that need whipped egg whites. So, if you happen to like chickpeas and use chickpeas in other recipes, hey, keep a can on hand, and when you need egg white, well, there you just use the juice and away you go. A more common one, what about if the recipe calls for lemon juice? Well, you can substitute an equal amount of white vinegar, lime juice, or dry white wine. All of those will do the same job in your recipe. Sour cream, easy to swap for full-fat yogurt, or a tablespoon of lemon juice with enough heavy cream to make a cup. So, again, what is it that you keep in your kitchen? Maybe you always substitute full-fat yogurt for sour cream in a recipe. Sometimes we just like to change those recipes for good. What about sugar? Do you have substitutes for sugar? Well, of course, you can use 1 cup of light or dark brown sugar. I'm going to change the texture a bit, change the flavor a bit. Or what about 1 1/4 cups of powdered sugar? Or 3/4 cup of liquid sugar. What's liquid sugar? Well, honey, corn syrup, maple syrup, all of those would give that same full, similar flavor, would have the sweetness because of sugar. The purpose is, number one, flavor, that's what we think of, but sugar also affects the tenderness of the final product. You know, if you're making a fine white cake and you need to make a substitute for sugar, well, you're certainly not going to get that same result. However, if you're making oatmeal cookies, it probably won't make a whole lot of difference. So sugar, as we said, is flavor. It's also a preservative in some cases, not in baked goods. And it also, in some cases, causes fermentation, which you might want or might not want. So sugar has lots of different purposes. What if the recipe calls for light brown sugar? Of course, you can substitute dark brown sugar or use half dark brown sugar and half white sugar, probably a little more equal to the light brown. I'm not real picky about light brown or dark brown, but the dark brown sugar does have is a little stronger flavor. So if you want to keep that, you can mix 1/4 cup of molasses with 1 cup of white sugar. Interesting substitute. What about yogurt? We talked about using yogurt as a substitute for sour cream. Well, of course, the other way works too. Or it could also be used as a substitute for buttermilk, possibly affecting the flavor and the texture. But maybe, again, it's something you will like. It may not be what you expected formally of this recipe. So there are, have you ever thought about, or maybe you do this, do you put recipes together or you have the basic and you start changing it and doing this and doing that and you like the way it turns out and hopefully you will write down or you have a really good memory to do that again. Otherwise, it's like, okay, this is an experiment every time. It is a good experiment with children. Good way to learn lots of different things with children. Not only finding the final product, but also in the memories of working together and the memories of the final result. Just sort of stepping back in time a bit. I used to help kids in 4th grade, I believe it was, make bread. And some of those youngsters had never done any baking. Most of them had never made bread. And the thrill they had of that final product, and we did this in schools, by the way, and they got to take home this loaf of bread. It was just so exciting, and they felt so good about that final product. So lots of things to learn. It's a whole science experiment as well. So baking and cooking, we can learn lots of things. We can try lots of things. And we hope that they turn out. Try not only the baking. I've been talking mostly about baking ingredients here, but what about casseroles? Hey, that's a whole nother ball game where you can switch and substitute and try new things. So it is just can be just an adventure in terms of what's happening in your kitchen, and you hope for good results. So, until next time, here's a thought. The results of baking and cooking are temporary.